The next session will be the GNSO / board. This is scheduled to go from 1 to 2:30.
All right, everyone, if I could give you a one-minute warning, and we're going to start the meeting. So if anyone who's going to take a seat at the table could please do so, you could get a drink or anything else, and we'll start in just 1 minute. To start the recording? Great, we're good to go. Thanks. Welcome to this next session in our GNSO weekend sessions. This is a meeting we obviously look very much forward to, and judging by the attendance in the room, so do many of you. It's an opportunity for the Council to interact directly with the Board, and so welcome on behalf of the Council and in fact the GNSO as a whole to our Board friends and colleagues. Steve, I don't know if you'd like to say anything before we kick off, and then we can start with the proceedings.
I'll keep it brief so that we use the time for substantive discussion, but it's a pleasure to be here on behalf of not only myself, but my colleagues on the board. Yona is walking in on Thomas, and I expect Fadi will be not far behind. Oh, he's already here. Thank you. Sorry. Let's do it.
Lars, if we could have the agenda slide up, please. So you have board colleagues have very graciously allowed us, again, as you did in Beijing, to somewhat drive and shape the agenda in some discussion with you. What I was hoping to do and what we have discussed doing was just to give you a very brief introduction and an update from the Council. I think it's important that we set the scene for you as to what we've been doing lately and where we've been going, and then we're going to move into the more substantive discussion, which has three key areas we're going to cover. So in terms of an update from you, I thought it was useful to reflect back a little bit to the last few months, perhaps as far back as the Toronto meeting, where we had a meeting. We had at the time no meeting with the GAC. We had a series of comments floating around in both public and private about concerns over the functionality or dysfunctionality of the GNSO Council, the GNSO as a whole, the PDP process. There was quite a lot of noise in and around those issues, which personally gave me, and I know colleagues on the Council and within the GNSO as a whole, some concerns. So we were also cognizant at the time that it was Fadi's introduction to a new season at ICANN, and we're very keen to buy into that and see if we couldn't emulate that in some ways, that spirit, if you like, within the GNSO and the Council as a whole. So we picked up on some key focal points to work with. The internal workings of the Council, it's no secret that it's hard work within the Council. The Council is diverse, multifaceted, multi-stakeholder, if you like, represented by many different groups and constituencies that have to come together and direct and manage policy, and that's no mean feat to try to deal with. So we were concerned about the internal workings of the Council, some of our critical external working relationships with you guys on the board, with the GAC, the CCNSO, and others within the community, and indeed our workload management, which had been an issue as well. I think we've addressed all of those and made good progress in all of those areas. I'm pleased to say we are meeting with you, although we haven't not met with you in the past, but we're meeting with you, and I think with a productive tone. We're meeting with the GAC immediately after this, in fact, and have engaged well with the Board GAC, I hate this one, Board GAC BGRI Working Group, let me just say that. And really the objective is to have an output of an effective and respected council within the GNSO itself and within the broader community. But that's not the end game. The end game really is one of continuous, iterative, and ongoing improvement. So I think we need to make you aware that that's on our agenda, regardless of whether there's a GNSO review, regardless of what the ATRT is doing. We ourselves, within the council and within the GNSO, are fully cognizant of the need to have an ongoing, continuous improvement process that relies on, you know, collaboration, consensus, and output wherever possible, and doesn't focus on process for its own sake, whilst we recognize that our processes are fundamental to the way in which we work. So I think that really covers it. I should give you a couple of details. I gave you details about the fact that we are engaged with key working relationships. We've taken on some basic management initiatives like active tracking of actions and recognition of the need for continuous review. We're initiating a couple of really interesting areas. We've picked up on the cross-community working groups and picking up on that with the CCNSO, and I hope to take that a little further. There's obviously the Policy and Implementation Working Group, which is has its charter up for a motion in this week's council meeting. And, I mean, there are no doubt that there are some ongoing challenges. We need to continue to be, and in fact be seen to be, effective and productive. We recognize that. We have been banging on your door and will continue to bang on, if you like, about common, agreed, and proper understanding of the multi-stakeholder model and the recognition of our and all of our roles within that. And then we have a challenge of ensuring ongoing depth of participation within the work that we do, whether that's in the working groups, on the council, and making sure we're active and refreshed, and that coincides with some work, and we've got to make sure it dovetails properly with what's going on. So that's really my introductory remarks. I just want to make a brief set of scene setting to let you know that the sort of approach and the style with which we're working. Onto our three substantive points then, really. The discussion issues, areas we wanted to cover with you were, well, one of these items that's picked up a lot of comment, criticism, attracts interest is the PDP process. And we wanted to present to you a few facts and points for discussion, and then to go on to talk about a couple of other points, which is, you know, the proposed change to the bylaws, which is a motion on our agenda, and the issues really underlying that as opposed to specifically the motion, and then perhaps time permitting some more discussion on areas where we might have concerns about how effectively the multi-stakeholder model is or isn't working for all of us. So in terms of the validity and value of criticism of the PDP, I suppose there's one opening remark that I've been reminded of a couple of times. The PDP isn't the only process available to the GNSO for the development of policy. It is a critical mechanism. It is the mechanism that results in binding policy on the contracted parties who are signed up to that. But it's not the only way in which we work. And indeed, I think the Policy Implementation Working Group may well help with how we detail some of the other methods we work. If you'll indulge me, and I'm keen to stop talking, but I would like to take you through a couple of slides that we've got on the PDP and some of that addresses this concept of whether or not it is or isn't working. And I will try and take you through that relatively fast. We'll make the material available to you. I have to acknowledge Marika from ICANN policy staff, substantial effort in this preparation, but I would very much like to take you through it. So, Lars, if we could flip through the slides, starting with the first one. So there's this perception that the PDP process is broken, doesn't work, and we want to tackle that head on. So let's have a look. So it's seen to be slow because it takes 2 to 3 years potentially to complete the whole process, from issue report to board vote. I mean, there are segments within that clearly take much shorter, but that is a typical life cycle. However, it's not necessarily fair to compare it to normal commercial processes or other product development cycles. although they may indeed be as long as this in some instances, but really to compare perhaps to some comparable processes like what goes on in the ITF or the CCNSO. And I think the one theme that comes out is recognizing that multi-stakeholder is a process or a recipe that gets prepared with not necessarily speedily. It takes time at times. We have to bear with that at times. If I could have the next slide, please. Perception that we don't reach consensus. Well, that's not the facts don't necessarily bear that out. Many of the recent, if not the we're only aware really of one recent PDP that didn't result in consensus or the non-completion of a PDP. Lars, if you could go on. I'm just going to take you through this rather fast. I don't want to dwell on these slides too much, a bit to get the key points across. Because we don't necessarily allow others to participate or provide input, but you know they are open at every level, including the opportunity for public comment forums throughout. And notices do go out to all SOs and ACs to provide input early in the process and throughout. That said, you know, we've got direct dialogue with the GAC, recognizing that may not suit them, so there are opportunities to tweak, modify, adapt in order to accommodate variations. If we could move on. And then we push decisions over to implementation within the PDP. Well, that's certainly been an issue that we've all faced in one or another way through the new GTLD program, but that may be the exception rather than the rule, and again, so we shouldn't necessarily see that as the only way in which things work, and there are opportunities to work with implementation review teams, and we expect some more work to come out of the policy implementation working group. Nevertheless, it's clear this isn't meant to sound defensive. We fully recognize that there is room for improvement at many different levels, and there are a series of bullets here. I'm not going to take all of us through them now, but to highlight that these are on our agenda. We are aware of the opportunities to potentially modify the mechanics or the methods by which we work within the PDP structure, and there are some very interesting ideas here. We may be able to add to more of them, but there's a slate that can be worked with to improve things. There's also the opportunity for, if we could just have the previous slide just for a moment, to recognize that there is, as I said at the outset, that policy advice or guidance can be used potentially, which is not generating consensus policy recommendations. And clearly, one of the things that will make a difference is to have the richness of participation, and it's possible that we could even think about mandating that broader participation. Lars, if you could give me the last slide. So our view is, I think, that the PDP is not broken. We have work to do. We can flex it. We have an attractive and flexible framework, and there are areas we can focus on it to improve it. So I think that's it from me. We can move on to now that. Lars, if you could pull up the overall agenda, and we could pick up then on that first bullet point, and I'll turn it over to fellow councillors and board members to make any remarks or open the discussion on that basis. So I think the first topic is in and around the PDP and any thoughts or issues that stimulates in terms of how it does or doesn't work.
Yeah, I'll say a word or two and then invite colleagues on the board who may want to respond. First of all, let me thank you very much for grabbing hold of one of the knottier and more contentious and controversial areas. I am very conscious that I don't have enough facts in my head to know how to carry out that conversation. So I think one of the very important things would be to get the rest of those. It's not picking up. Sorry, to get the rest of those facts. So I take your point that there's 8 out of 9 went to conclusion, and so that whets my appetite to say, so what are they, and how long did they take, and what were the stages of that process, and so forth. So I think an education process would be very helpful. The other element that circles around these discussions is whether or not some parties deliberately slow things down because it's advantageous, and so whether there's gaming and hence whether the way the process is structured is appropriate for serving the multi-stakeholder community. And so that opens up another set of questions. again, I won't propose to engage in a debate here because I know I don't have enough facts. Let me ask anybody else on the board who wants to. Ray?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. First of all, I think that the term the policy process is broken is probably more a reflection of it's not satisfactory. Okay? And having said that, I'm also curious why you didn't compare to the time it takes for policies to work through the both the regional registries and when they actually have to produce one that goes to the board in the global policy process, looking at those timelines. the second thing is that my feeling is that there are some structural weaknesses in the process, and the process tends to reflect the times in which it was put together and the dynamics of the time and also the politics of the time. And so I would be more than willing to sit down and work with people to talk about structures and so forth in terms of the processes. I've had the opportunity to work inside these processes before, so but I think but in the bottom line is that when the process produces the policy has generally been very good. It's only when, for some reason or other, the structure doesn't permit it to work the way it should that you get these discrepancies and leads to the conclusion that it's broken because it didn't work quite the way we thought it should.
Thanks, Ray. I would like Bruce. No, I would actually prefer not to respond. I don't want to get into a dialogue. It's not that I think what that was about scene setting. It's not exhaustive stats. It's not an exhaustive. It's not even tended as an exhaustive defense. It's setting a scene of why it may not be broken and a receptiveness to develop and change it. Make no mistake. But so I'd rather we had comments from all sorts of people around the room. Would be great. So Bruce, fire away.
Yeah, one thing I guess that's a challenge with the bottom-up processes is agility. One of the purposes of using ICANN models was partly on the basis that some other governance models have been relatively slow and that this is a fast-moving industry and we need to be agile. I think if you look at what's going on in the new GTLD program at the moment, that the staff have really ramped up the pace, particularly in the last 12 months, and really is doing a huge workload. But it's very well resourced, it's a big team of people working on it. And then some volunteers that have developed the original policy are saying, well, we'd like to comment or provide input on some of the implementation work that you're doing. But the question is, how agile can the community be in forming a consensus position on that? It's very easy for individuals to make comments, and we have public comment processes for that. But one of the things to think about is, are there some agile methodologies that could be used in the GNSO, really for responding to more implementation-type issues? And even when I look at your list of projects at the moment, some of them the PDP doesn't seem like the right tool. Like, there's one of your projects, I think, is looking at locking of names during UDRP. Is that really something where we want to use a full PDP policy process for, or is there some more agile way of dealing with a topic like that? So just broadly, we need to think, how can we be more agile in implementations of policies? Locking of a UDRP, to me, is an implementation of the policy of UDRP. And things like trademark clearinghouse is an implementation of the new GTLD policy. But how does this group able to work in an agile way that can really work with the staff and influence them?
Yeah, there's no doubt that agility is a theme that's running through all of our minds in more ways than one. It's the iterative cycle between policy and implementation, not to preempt anything that comes out of that working group. It's the requirement for speed of throughput. So that there's no doubt that resonates well. Jeff, Mike, and then Jeff, did you want to come in? Well, first,
Thank you. Appreciate being deferred to. I think one thing that we need to recognize, and it's something that I've been struggling with very much in terms of some of the critique that's been leveled by the GNSI generally against the board, is that this is often an iterative process. The GNSI comes up with a policy, and it thinks it's been comprehensive, but during implementation, issues which are now purely implementation suddenly seem to be policy again. And it becomes an iterative process where, in the implementation of policy, we then need to find out that we're dealing with policy again and not implementation, and it goes backwards and forwards. The one thing that we're dealing with, though, is a situation where some parts of the GNSI are screaming and saying, implement the damn policy that we gave you. And there are other parts saying, no, we've got to have everything mapped out, and some of them are even saying before you start implementation, everything has to be mapped out, and any policy consideration that could possibly come up have to go back and be dealt with as a policy issue. I think what we also need to recognize is there needs to be flexibility in the system, is there needs to be some degree of interim step. And I have a belief that some interim implementation measures are going to have to be taken which will address some of these issues while the policy aspect goes back to the GNSI for consideration. And I've shared with my colleagues before, and I'll share with you some very high-level thoughts. In an implementation step, it's got to be conservative. And when I say conservative, I'm talking about conservative in the sense of conserving the status quo, not opening what I call a Pandora's box, and not making a change which cannot be reversed. Rather, keeping as far as possible the status quo, even on an interim basis, recognizing that a 180-degree shift in direction can't be reversed if it's taken as an interim step, but continuing on the current path, or even sometimes making the current path narrower and stricter, can be widened at a later stage with very limited harm to the participants who may have lost some opportunity. And there may be a slight opportunity cost that's been incurred, but you can reverse the decision later on. What you want to avoid is irreversible decision making. And this is what I think this board has been trying to do, and what we're being criticized for doing, because we want to tread a narrow path, recognizing that in many cases we've got to throw these issues back to you, because neither we nor staff are in a position to make final decisions. But given the number of people who are screaming for movement to happen, we're saying, fine, then go ahead, and here's the narrow path. And if you don't like it, speed up your process and give us the alternative. But for now, this is a path we think, and I think it would be worthwhile actually writing some of this down, is to say, it's got to be recognized as interim. We don't think we're final. It's got to be conservative. I'm sure there's some other aspects, and if I go back to my emails, I'll no doubt find that I was more lucid when I was sharing those emails with my colleagues. But there are a number of principles that I think that we as a board, and the staff for that matter as well, should be held to and say, consider these when making implementation steps that may tread on policy toes ultimately.
I've got John Berada, who else is, and Bertrand, and Shireen. John?
Thank you, John Berard from the Business Constituency. So, Mike, the steps that were taken when the PDP was begun on the protection of IGO names, which included the notion that if the PDP were not completed by a certain time, that an interim step would be deployed pending the outcome, and then whatever the outcome was would be overlaid on top of that. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
In many cases.
And one of the questions that came up earlier is when you are asked about, so you talk about the pressure that comes, right? So if you look at the table of organization for ICANN, all roads lead to the board. I mean, whether the SOs or the ACs offer advice or policy, it ultimately winds up on your desk, and the individual members who are unhappy with the policy or the advice might seek to go to the board and say, hey, you know, there was a problem with the flawed thinking or bad advice, and you really should be taking it another way. Do you think that there's a link between your willingness to do that and a belief on the part of the community that it is now a more doable thing to lobby the board? So I think it's sort of two halves of the same grapefruit.
Did you want to respond directly, Mike?
If I could, without wanting to engage too far in dialogue, and I think that's absolutely the reason why I think that this should be codified, both in terms of staff and board, because I really don't want to be a windsock blowing whichever way the community happens to be huffing and puffing at that particular point in time. I think we need some clear principles, recognizing that sometimes interim steps need to be taken while policy is ongoing. And as long as we keep to those steps, I would feel comfortable saying, no, it's interim. If you have a problem with it and the damage being caused is far out, or the damage being caused is lower than the damage that would be caused if a wrong decision would be taken too quickly, speed up the policy process and come back. No one is being significantly harmed. The DNS isn't being put at significant risk. Let's move forward. That's how I'd like to see it. I wouldn't like to see an interim decision which can then become a revised interim decision in 2 months and a further revised one 2 months later.
Thanks, Mike. It's interesting that we seem to be moving to number two, so I think we should open up that topic, but I'm conscious that we've got Bertrand, Shireen, and I'm sure Jeff will want to speak to point number two, and I've got Volker in line as well. So I'm going to let's hear from Bertrand, Shireen, and then Jeff, you may want to open up on point two, and I'm conscious we've got you, Volker, in the queue as well. Bertrand.
Thanks, Jonathan. Want to pick one thing in the slides that was mentioned, which is the importance of the early framing of issues. This is a topic that I've iteratively tried to push. One thing, for instance, that strikes me is that whenever the GNSO creates a working group to develop a policy, the first step is to develop the charter for this working group. I've always found that a little bit strange, because the best way to address an issue is to have, maybe at the next meeting when after the decision has been taken, a sort of birds of a feather type of discussion where all the different actors, including participants from other SOs, ACs, can come and look at that issue to prepare the drafting of the charter. Because otherwise, it turns into a debate where the framing of the charter itself is a pre-framing of the discussion on substance. It looks like a minor topic, but in terms of operational practice, it saves a tremendous amount of time. The second thing I want to say is, I won't get into the debate on how to engage the GAC in particular more early in the process. It's a whole discussion in itself, and it's out. But one thing is important is, because it's a marathon and because the multi-stakeholder process is usually longer or takes time, we need to anticipate issues more, i.e. the moment something emerges on the horizon, it needs to be addressed to see whether an early exploration, an early discussion can be made, so that when it has to be dealt with, work has been prepared before. It's a warning of vigilance thing, but it's important. The final thing, I'm very happy that the work will start on the policy versus implementation working group, as I've said to a few of you. There are two elements that I want to keep in mind. One is the notion of parallelism of form. When something has been adopted through a certain process, its modification in a substantive manner should go through a similar process. If something has been validated by the GNSO, a modification of substance needs to be done through the same process, or at least with the same level of recognition. And recent reconsideration case proved the point. The second element, which is almost as important, is that whenever there is a discrepancy in the analysis between the GNSO Council and the staff on whether something is policy or implementation, it cannot be one of the parties, and in that case the staff, or the GNSO, to decide on its own that he is right or not. If there is a discrepancy between the two, it has to be elevated to the board or to a mutual agreement, but it cannot be one of the parties that decides where the line is.
Thanks, Bertrand. We've got Shireen next, followed by Volker and then Jeff.
You stole my thunder because I was going to say the last two or three years I've been on the board, I've rarely seen a PDP, and most of the issues have been around the second point on your agenda. So it would have been very helpful to see that proposed changes to the bylaws and the issue about the consultation and get into that, because that's the heart of the subject in my mind.
Thanks, Shireen. Let's get on with it then. Let's talk about that. It would be great. Volker, would you like to say something?
Yes, I'm trying to lead over into that so Jeff can take over for this. We're dealing with a multi-stakeholder model here. That's the basis of ICANN, and the basic content of that is that you have a lot of different views coming together, forming consensus. This can take a lot of time. Sometimes it's quicker. I relish those moments. And I agree that sometimes interim steps can be necessary. However, I think that's a dangerous path that needs to be very well considered, because taking interim steps that preconceive part of the possible result undermines the ability or the willingness of whatever stakeholder group has an interest vested in whatever change there is to come to a consensus if that step has already been made. So any interim steps that are taken, any decisions that are taken without consulting the stakeholder groups should be very well considered and should be very well considered. To that effect, it would be very helpful to have a feedback loop, to have something of more communication between the different parties of ICANN when such a step is taken, and before that step is taken, at least a consultation has taken place. And I think with that, I can lead over to Jeff.
Thanks. This has been a great discussion, and actually is perfectly leads into the second point. And I would start out with this point that there's been a lot of focus of whether something's policy versus implementation. And I want to point out for this next part of the discussion, to me or to us, it really doesn't matter. We're a multi-stakeholder organization. Whether something is policy or implementation, it should be multi-stakeholder, period. And I think we all ascribe to that. With that in mind, with the talk, with being agile and having other mechanisms, and with a feedback loop, I want to get into this next part of the discussion, which is that if there are two, actually, I don't know if we could post those proposed changes up there so that people could actually read them. That would be actually beneficial. There are two proposed changes that are now in front of the council to the bylaws. The first change is formally adding a sentence into the bylaws that talks about other ways that the GNSO can act other than through a formal PDP. Because right now, if you read the bylaws, and if you take the view that was recently taken in that reconsideration request that we're referring to, it basically says that the GNSO really can only act through a PDP, and if it doesn't act through a PDP, we really don't have to listen to them. Which actually contradicts the first sentence of the bylaws, which says that the GNSO is the responsible party for developing and recommending policies related to generic top-level domains. So the first change that we're asking for is really just a sentence, and the wording really at this point, we're not trying to word things. Oops, sorry?
We're not asking yet.
think that you're being you're getting the cart in front of the
horse.
Right,
let me take a step back. Fair point. So what we're discussing at this point at this meeting is really kind of a drilling down on the feedback loop that Volker was talking about, and really when the motion that's in front of the council at this meeting, the discussion is that when the GNSO acts, whether it acts in a formal PDP or whether it acts in some other way or some other mechanism that it has to act. And again, I just want to also emphasize, we're not talking about the GNSO council, we're talking about the GNSO community. When the community acts in a way, what we're asking for is almost kind of a common courtesy. If the board would like to take an action that is inconsistent with what the GNSO has come out with, either in formal PDP or otherwise, that there should be some mechanism for the board to come back to the GNSO community, explain its rationale, and then provide an opportunity for the groups, as Bertrand said, for the groups to come together and see if there could be some sort of mutually acceptable solution to that. If not, then the board's free to act as it's free to act now. But basically what this current proposal is that to memorialize the concept of a feedback loop as the common courtesy to come back to the GNSO when it would like to take an action that's inconsistent with what the GNSO has come out with. I guess that's basically kind of the summary of what's being asked for. This is still a debate within the GNSO of how we go about doing that. So I'll let other counselors come in and speak, but it's really that kind of common courtesy that we're asking to be memorialized, the feedback loop, in light of, you know, Bertrand's comments as well.
Jeff Zahid is keen to comment. I just want to make sure we are clear. This is a motion before the council. We have had the opportunity to discuss it over the weekend session. I detect there is certainly some, there's a fundamental principle here which seems to attract a lot of interest and attention, and it's a motion that we will certainly discuss further and potentially vote on at our meeting on Wednesday. So just to John's point, you know, we haven't, it's work in progress as far as the council's concerned. Yeah, and then hand over to Zahid.
Yeah, the other thing I do want to mention is this really isn't anything that's new. We did discuss this with the board in the Beijing meeting, so this is not, it's really more of a continuation of the discussion that we had and bringing the GNSO into that feedback loop.
Thank you, Jonathan. A couple of points. Good friend of mine, Jeff, but just a few clarifications. Policy implementation, the division between that, and that everything should come back to the GNSO is not something that is across the board, pardon the pun, something that everybody in the GNSO necessarily subscribes to. There are certain constituencies, at least, who believe that there is a stark distinction in what implementation is, which the GNSO has nothing to do with, or the council has nothing to do with, and then policy, which the council has to do with. So there are differing views, number one. Just wanted to clarify that. Many of us thought that this was helpful to put this on the agenda to see what the board's reaction would be to something like this. And as Joanne pointed out, there's not yet a clear understanding by everybody that they definitely want to support this. There are many people who might reconsider. But what I heard from Mike's and Jeff's discussion earlier was that, you know, Jeff basically is suggesting that it would make sense to have some sort of a involvement in the implementation process for the GNSO. So if there's some implementation going on, you need some feedback, or maybe the GNSO feels that this is something that they've worked on and that implementation is going into that space, they should have the ability to come back to the board and say, listen, we have something we have to say about this. And on Mike's point, I think I heard this was interesting for us, was saying, but there needs to be flexibility. There needs to be something that the board should be able to, in the interim measure, put in place, which basically allows us not to go in a sort of a continuous loop back and forth within the GNSO and the board. And I think that was important. And I think that's something we would in the GNSO explore. That was great feedback. So the purpose of basically asking you this question is to see what you think about this. And one of the things that's proposed, I don't want to go into the weeds of what is being proposed in the motion, is that you would have to, number one, and I think that's appropriate, give us a reason if there was a rejection. And two, there's sort of a process similar to the GAC that's being proposed, that basically you would have to sit down and consult with us. And the third, which is being proposed, is, well, you know, even if it is something that sort of links up to a policy thing, issue related to the GNSO, you can go outside it and do something without talking to us first. Those are the three elements. With the last point, resolve one. Maybe I wasn't clear. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Look, let's not talk about the weeds, because I specifically did not talk about the weeds of it.
Right, sorry.
So don't characterize this. Please.
Thanks, Jeff. No, sorry. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that, Jeff. Thank you. So, what many of us are interested in is getting the board's reaction to such a bylaw amendment. Would it be helpful, and what would your thoughts be? Thank you. Thanks, Jeff.
Got Mike in the queue, and based on Zahid's comments, Ray and Joy. Sorry, Joy, have I overlooked you at some point? Okay, so we've got Mike, Ray, Joy.
A couple of things. Firstly, I really think we're being unfair on staff by suggesting that there hasn't been a feedback loop. I think that we're being unfair on staff in suggesting that we haven't been taking cognizance by putting things out to comments and multiple comment periods in some circumstances. And I'm really sorry, but there are some people, including some in this room, who regard a comment process not as having taken place if they don't get their way coming out of the comment process. Be that as it may, can it be improved? Yes, absolutely. Is a feedback loop which is better or more than simply the rationale that we put in our resolutions at the moment useful? Yes, I agree with you completely. I think those are very useful comments. I think it's something that we can take on board. But ultimately, please be aware that we've got staff who are being shouted at on one side by people saying, go, 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 implement. And on the other hand, by people saying, no, no, you can't implement because there's a policy issue over there. And that oftentimes they've got to walk a tightrope between the two while the people debate the number of angels on the pin, staff are trying to actually walk the tightrope of getting things delivered. So I think we should not be unfair on them and suggest that they're running some hidden agenda here. We can see the people with the whips chasing after them. There's nothing hidden. Their agenda is actually delivering and performing. And I think to suggest otherwise is a mistake.
Okay,
one last comment I would make, though, is I also think that we must work out what's the best way of interacting with this community. You were talking about the GNSO community as a whole rather than the council. We spend a lot of Tuesday with disparate groups, but it sometimes leads to a very siloed approach. We tend to take on a more issue-driven approach when we meet with the council, but then we get groups coming to us on the Tuesday and complaining and giving us a message different to what we heard as more or less a consensus view in the council. And I think that we, both sides, we've been looking internally at the best way for us to engage with the GNSO community. Is it in your silos? Is it on issues? Is it on topics? Is it a combination thereof? But I think that's something that you need to give us some feedback on as well, is how do we best iterate? Because what we can't do is on Tuesday listen to the different parts of the GNSO giving us conflicting messages and feedback on the same issues and then trying to decide how to resolve it when this community hasn't resolved it itself.
Mike, I think Jeff is there to respond. I've got a cue, and I would just like to say that the tone of this is not intended as criticism. This is a forward-looking, constructive view about how we might better engage with you, with the board in future. I would say one other brief response on my part, and that is that, unfortunately, to some extent, the very nature of the GNSO is you will get diverse messages. So, you know, it's hard to apologize for that or suggest that we can do away with that completely. Jeff, you want to respond, and then I'm going to come back to the queue, which is Ray.
So I thanks, Mike, and I fully appreciate that, what you've said, but if the way I started out my discussion is when the GNSO actually acts. So when the GNSO actually comes together, which is so rare, right? I mean, it's too rare. But when we actually do come together and when we actually do act, that's the premise of it. So when we do act as a community, because we are the bottom-up process, right? We are the embodiment of the bottom-up process. There's probably no other organization within ICANN that is more diverse than we are. So when we actually get our ducks in a row, and we actually, when we actually get our ducks in a row and we actually do act, what we're asking for, or what this proposal is asking for, is that if the board is contemplating an action that will be inconsistent with that, regardless of why, right? Regardless of whether there's other people whispering in your ears or whatever, what we're asking for is, on a go-forward basis, is that the board come back and say that it will act, give a rationale, and give a chance for the GNSO community that did act to find a mutually acceptable solution. And then the board can do whatever it wants anyway, but just kind of to memorialize that feedback loop and just asking for the courtesy that when it does act, that we can engage in that dialogue.
Okay, Jeff, I've got Ray next, and then I've got Joy and Steve in the queue as well, and Shireen. Ray. Yeah.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'm just trying to pull this thing over here. I want to say three very broad statements, and I don't expect to elicit any feedback or conversation here. I want to put them out there for food for thought. The first one has to do with policy and statements being made. Well, if the board is going to depart from GNSO policy, well, first of all, it's an ICANN policy. It's not a GNSO policy. If it's gone through that process and the board's approved it, it's an ICANN policy. The board does not have license to depart from that policy. Now, certainly the board has a fiduciary and liability responsibility that it must discharge if there's something in that policy that actually inadvertently is causing or can cause injury or so forth, that it must take emergency action. But it also is incumbent upon the board at that time to refer this matter back to the body that produced that policy, whether it's the GNSO, the ASO, or the CCNSO. So, number one, the board just can't decide that it doesn't want to do anything about policy because it's already been approved. Number two, with regards to implementation is the prerogative of the executive. It is not the prerogative of the board. When the board finishes with the policy and says, this is the policy, and it's because we are satisfied, I went through the bottom-up process and everything else, it's handed to the executive for implementation. If there is a dispute about a matter that's the manner in which it's being implemented, that's a matter to be taken up, in my opinion, with the executive and not with the board. However, if in the matter of that dispute it becomes evident that the policy is not clear and that there's a difference of interpretation, then it's incumbent upon the policy process to take it back and fix it. And so, getting back and forth on this discussion using the board and everybody else to decide policy versus implementation is really a losing proposition. And I think it's also incumbent upon the executive that when he receives a policy, that they publish clear operational procedures that are clear and that are followed and are not diverted from. Now, it is also incumbent upon him that he must, some way or other, consult with the affected parties to make sure that the procedures are understandable and are workable. And if they're not, they get worked out in that circle. And so that's number two with implementation. The third thing has to do with the presence of the constitution, if you will, or the bylaws, if you will, of the GNSO existing in the ICANN bylaws. I think that is totally wrong. The bylaws of ICANN should not contain the bylaws of the GNSO. In other words, the GNSO should not say we want to change the way we act, and the only way we can do that is to change the ICANN bylaws. The GNSO should have the way to change the way it acts on its own accord. And in the manner in which the GNSO interacts with the board is a different document, if you will, or a different statement. And so I advocate strongly that that whole piece of the bylaws that talks about the GNSO and everything else be removed from the ICANN bylaws and appropriate references be made in the ICANN bylaws to the GNSO.
And if you want an example of that, look at the ASO. The paragraph, it's two paragraphs. One, it says the NRO is going to do the job, and two, it says it's going to be done in the manner in which the MOU says. Simple. And the changes that are then made the way the ASO does its work is the business of the ASO. And I don't see why the GNSO can't do the same thing.
Just for clarity on that last point, it's not just GNSO, it would be all the SOs and all the ACs.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
We're talking about the GNSO, but yeah, I would pull the whole mess out about the CCNSO as well. You know, you're not the Lone Ranger.
All right. Thank you, Ray. Let's go to Joy, and then Steve and Shireen.
Thanks. Joy Lidicote from the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group. And just to pick up on Ray's last point, no, Jeff, certainly not a Lone Ranger, and very much the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group's really supported this discussion and welcomed it, this discussion about policy versus implementation. And I think the tenor of this conversation with the board is quite a different tenor than we've had for a little while, so I think that's constructive and useful. In terms of the discussion, just wanted to pull out a few threads, and I also don't want to go into the weeds of various current environmental reasons why this is topical for our constituency group, but just to say that I think I really want to echo the points that were made earlier by board members about neutralising themselves from the impact of being lobbied around decisions. I think very often the non-commercial constituency group and stakeholders work very hard in working groups and policy development processes, you know, in good faith, coming to decisions and, you know, striving to respect the decisions that the community makes about policy. And it's extremely undermining when others then seek to lobby the board or staff or beleaguer them with further things, when we finally get to a point where we think we have resolution. And I'm not a person in a glass house throwing a stone. In that sense, I think one of the constituency groups has done that at some point. So I think, yes, it's salutary, and it's a good reminder to say that these things shouldn't actually be happening. And I would also then encourage board members to be telling us when they're feeling that the screaming is coming, and so that we can help censor each other and remind ourselves to stick to the agreements that we came to. In terms of the actual motions that we're debating, I think one of the legal reasons why we thought this was useful for the board as a decision maker is that transparency about decision making and rationality of decision making enhances and strengthens the role of the board. It supports it because it can say squarely that it is being rational and clear and evidence based in its decision, and it's not intended to be a burden or in any way put shackles on the board, but rather to empower it and rather to empower it to talk to the community about its decisions. You know, whether we ultimately end up with this as the motion or the best way, I mean, that's going to be the community discussion, but very much just want to reiterate that we support it and look forward to seeing the outcome and having some constructive engagement in the policy versus implementation discussions.
Thanks, Joy. Steve, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, thank you. This is an important discussion. I think there are a couple of different things that are intertwined here. One of the things, and it's come up in, frankly, in discussion with ALAC as well, is how do we, speaking of ALAC, and I think here, speaking of GNSO, provide advice to the board, and how do we get taken seriously, and how do we know it's going to be taken seriously, and how do we follow the process, and so forth. And in the setting here, that question is gets a little bit burdened with, we have a policy development process, and if that's all we have, then we can't do anything else. From where I'm sitting, to put it in first person singular, but I think, you know, for the whole board, we think advice from any of the supporting organizations or advisory committees is important and needs to be dealt with respectfully and fully, irrespective almost of how finally the words are crafted in the bylaws. The whole purpose of existence of of the GNSO and the other bodies is to think hard about these topics. And it's just sort of, from my point of view, a common sense that the board has to be attentive to that. We are a little underpowered at the moment in terms of just our manpower of processing stuff, and we're a little burdened. We're in the process of fixing that, and that's something that's been going on behind the scenes and is not yet fully in place, but it's been very high on my list of very important. And let me just say another word or two about that. I've been sitting in the chair position for now 2 years, and so I'm quite conscious that in saying, you know, this is very important, which, that the natural response is, and so in 2 years you haven't been able to fix this. This is certainly a dialogue I've had with myself, and it's been aggravating a bit. But the context is that the first year was completely consumed with the search process and the transition to bringing Fadi on board. And then there was a whirlwind of activity as he came on board, a lot of structural changes and so forth. And I quite deliberately held back from saying, well, the set of problems that we have in our little patch and the board is the most important thing. I'm going to go push for all of that. A couple of months ago, I said, and I didn't make a big deal about this, but I went through a state change in my mind. I said, it's time enough for this. We've gone through the transitions. We've got the major pieces in place, and now time for me to start pushing on this, and so I have been. So, as I say, just, you know, the best way to judge will be from watching the actions, not necessarily from what I'm saying, but I can tell you that this was weighed very heavily on my mind. We have the basic process in place of paying attention to things that are not necessarily resolutions. They come from board members' interests or from other things. We have not had, as I say, quite the energy to track and process these things as fast as I would like. And that will change. The second thing is that ultimately, what can the board do with anything? We, in terms of actions, we feed things back out to staff or to supporting organizations or advisory committees or to the community in general. We're not an operating arm. We're not a department in that sense. So there's very little that we can do directly. Although we have quite a bit of expertise, a huge amount of expertise actually on the board in subject matter, it's actually we know as full well as anybody that it's not appropriate for us to be acting as subject matter experts and making decisions that we think it ought to be done this way, therefore do that. That our fundamental role is to oversee the process, to facilitate and enable the community in all of the various ways that we've structured things to get things done. Every once in a while we take note that something may be stuck or broken and we need to speak to that. Mainly we're concerned, as I say, with process, with quality, it's not that we don't have any values. We definitely have values, but the principal value, the primary value, is to make sure that we have the involvement from the various parties. So that's kind of a long-winded answer with respect to the proposed changes in the bylaws here. I'm very empathetic, but I think and I actually don't have any strong feelings one way or the other with respect to whether you do or don't put it in the bylaws. In the most positive way, I want to say I don't think it'll make any difference. That is, yes, something's broken, it needs to be fixed. Yes, we will fix it. And when we fix that, it will not matter whether or not you've done this or not, because we will give full weight to advice. I don't know how, you know, whether that's helps you or it makes you feel better about all of this, but that's at least from where I'm sitting the position that I would take.
Thank you very much, Steve. That's helpful to hear. I know Shireen has been very patient. I know you want to respond, Jeff, but I think we should give Shireen an opportunity. He's been patiently holding off there. I'm also conscious that there's one other bullet point in this, and I think we should open that up as well, potentially after we've heard from Shireen and Jeff.
Okay, I'm going to be quick. Personally, I'm sympathetic, and I hear your concern. But I'm not sympathetic to this change to the bylaw because I don't think it helps you. And let me tell you why. The board doesn't make policy. The board only adopts or not a policy that is being recommended upward. And once it adopts, therefore the sentence you say, if the board is not consistent with GNSO advice. Well, once we've adopted the policy, we don't have a right to deviate from that policy. And what happens after that, we are not in the implement... This, we pass the implementation of that to the executive, as Ray said very earlier on. So the issue for you is later on in the execution and implementation of whether staff has implemented that, in its implementation, has deviated more or less. And this is open for interpretation in many cases. So you need to re-examine what is it you want to achieve, because the way it's written here, is, as Steve said, is not going to advance at all, because we're not going to deviate from a policy that we have adopted. So we're not going to be inconsistent with you. The issue is later on. And we have to find a way, if that's what you want to do, that doesn't tie the hand of our CEO and his staff when they're under pressure to deliver, and at the same time gives you some, quote, safeguards that if you see a real deviation from policy, then there has to be some consultation there. But I don't think the way this is written serves that purpose at the moment, because there is a big distinction in my mind between the role of the board and the role of the executives. Thank you.
We've mentioned a lot about the executive. I know Fadi wants to speak. Jeff, you were in the queue, and you may want to respond briefly, and then we should give Fadi an opportunity to come in.
Yeah, I guess my brief response is a complete agreement with, I guess, Steve and with Shireen. I don't think it, you're right. It absolutely shouldn't be – we shouldn't need a bylaw to actually say what should be the obvious, right? Unfortunately, this all came about because of a board governance decision, a rationale that was put in there, which actually puts in writing something it probably never should have put in writing, which was the notion of – if something does not go through a PDP, there is no obligation for the board to go back to the GNSO. Period. I mean, that's what it says. Had it never said that, we probably never, none of this probably ever would have come up. And again, it's really, I want to come back to the whole notion, because we get caught up in policy versus implementation, and there's a working group, and I think in the end, in my personal opinion, there's never going to be a line that we'll ever find between policy and implementation. One party's always going to call it policy, one party's going to call it implementation, and basically it's whichever party wants to call it, whatever it wants to call. Whatever in their best interest, they will call it. In the end, we are a multi-stakeholder organization, and we need to act like the multi-stakeholder organization, whether it's policy, whether it's implementation. And I heard the point about implementation is for the executive. But in the end, the executive should be coming through the multi-stakeholder model when it proposes it. And there's a lot of stuff, and hopefully once this new GTLD stuff is, we're way past it, but there's a lot of stuff now, whether it comes from the GAC to the board or elsewhere to the board, that many of us, if we actually took a sit down for a while, would say, you know what, this is really policy, and it really should go to the GNSO. But you're right, you have the pressure, Mike, of having to act.
Jeff, let's hear from Fadi then, if you...
Yeah, so I'll just sum it up again. No, I won't sum it up. I'll go to Fadi. Thank you. Thanks.
First of all, I do not think the PDP process is broken. I think it actually works marvelously. I just think we are not saying this enough. I think we have a communications framework issue. We have a remarkable process at work. The world could kill for a process like that. We have stakeholders that come together and make policy across nations, across constituencies, across interests. Frankly, we should be very proud of it and stop being defensive. It works. And the GNSO works. Okay? Let's change the frame of that discussion. And I know that's what you're trying to do. We should help you do that. We should, and I hope Sally's hearing me somewhere, we should work with the GNSO to actually communicate that and be proud of how this process works. It's not perfect. But when people say it doesn't work, what the hell are we comparing it to? A body that meets every 15 years to discuss something? It works. This is a process that works, and we should be very adamant about that in our communications. And we should help with that. Second thing I want to say is that looking at this resolution, frankly, I must say, I have no issue with the second one. If it's needed, we can put it. I have an issue with the first one. But the second one is fine. I mean, you all make advice. I just still don't know what is a GNSO advice. I think this should be defined. And once it is defined, clearly, if you give advice, whatever that is, to be defined, and the board rejects it, I think you deserve some mechanism of knowing why. I'm okay with it. I think this is very reasonable. I mean, it's not my decision. My chairman is here, and the board is here. You can decide. But Fadi is saying, I think this is more than reasonable. However, on the implementation side, it gets tricky. It gets very tricky. And I'm an implementer. I'm not a lawyer. I've implemented systems. It gets very complicated to implement processes and policies when you have a mechanism where a lot of people have to give opinion all the time. It will. I mean, Rome fell because that's what the Senate was doing in the 5th century. So we have to be very careful if we're going to make decisions how to not impede these decisions. So I'm going to make a practical proposal until your working group figures out how to do this, and I'll support that, and I'll make sure all other constituencies make part of your working group, so it's not just the GNSO. I'll support that. But in the meantime, I'm proposing we create what I'm going to call a hotline on policy versus implementation. Okay? You now have a new division at ICANN called the Generic Domains Division. It's an implementation division run by an implementation team. They don't make policy. You make policy. So the GNSO and the GDD should have a policy versus implementation hotline. Today, if there's a problem with the root server, in under 60 seconds, all the root operators are on the phone dealing with it. We should have something, shouldn't be 60 seconds, but how about 24 hours? If your community feels that our implementation team is going across the line and is making policy, I'm prepared to set up an interim hotline. You pick 2, 3, 4 people on your side. I'll have Akram and his team there. We get on the phone and we discuss it. If we can't agree, if you say no, it's policy, and we say no, it's implementation, we take it up to the board. Let's do something practical. Let's not become like Rome. We need to solve these problems and show our agility. Agility is central to our transnational model. If we do not focus on that and we become mired like IGOs are, we look like all of them. So, and by the way, this is just a personal comment to Jeff. When you say the GNSO is truly the only multi-stakeholder kind of body in this, frankly, the board is more multi-stakeholder than the GNSO. And we should not forget that. The board is the community. The board is not some bunch of people who, they are more multi-stakeholder than even the GNSO. They include every stakeholder group, and they all try to do their best. So I want to defend them for a moment here. They are a body that I'm also very proud to be part of. So, but I mean, that doesn't take away anything from the GNSO. But it's we shouldn't okay. take away anything from the board.
It's okay, Fadi. We didn't feel attacked.
Thank you, Fadi. Thank you for your constructive input, and to everyone else who's put something in. We're coming into the last 5 minutes of this discussion when we have to wrap up, and I'm sure you've got other scheduled meetings. I know Bertrand would like to say something briefly. I'm just conscious that there was another bullet point, and it's been a thematic bullet point. So the others are more practical, and I'm not going to throw this one open now, but there's been this theme of the multi-stakeholder model being used and being out there as something which is critical to the defense of ICANN in its current framework. And I think a lot of the thinking that goes on that we've been dealing with is trying to shore up and recognize our part in that multi-stakeholder model. So I just highlight that bullet point exists there as a thematic one that captures many of the items. And frankly, we've had a very good discussion that's covered
many elements of it. Bertrand, let me not hog the microphone.
Olga.
We will have the opportunity to discuss the whole debate about implementation policy. I saw a reluctance, particularly when Fadi was looking at the formulation that the GNSO might give advice to the implementation. Just at this point, I want to highlight that we shouldn't mix two things under the term implementation. One thing is execution, and here there should be no meddling at all. Implementation is slightly different, and everybody who has participated in the development of the applicant guidebook knows that the development of the applicant guidebook has been a multi-stakeholder process. And in this regard, Jeff is perfectly right to say when the policy framework is being set by the GNSO, the implementation framework is also developed in a multi-stakeholder process through the consultations. The operational execution is a completely different matter, and there's no involvement of the GNSO in the management of the applications and so on. That's my contribution at that stage, and I stand to be corrected if not.
No, but frankly, I want to answer this because this is very important. I think a lot of the issues we're having today in implementing the GTLD program is because the book went too far in implementation, and a lot of things in implementation in that book are not implementable. Therefore, the lesson should be that there should not be a focus on implementation and policy. There should be a focus on a policy and a set of requirements, and let the implementers do their work. Now, if, as they're implementing, you, as a body who made the policy, believe that they crossed the line, we need to create a mechanism for somebody to say, hold. And now, frankly, you don't have that hold. So you end up feeling like, oh, they're rushing away with something, and that's our work. So I'm proposing, let's create a little emergency break in the train where we get together and you say, look, we actually disagree. You're going into policy matters, and we discuss it. And if you convince us or we convince you, we move on. If not, we take it to the next level. But this way we keep moving.
Thanks, Fadi. I hope you don't get everyone hanging on the emergency break. That's my only worry. Olga.
Thanks. This is a really good opportunity to informally, shall we say, talk to you about the resolution that you have put on the screen and that you are considering. So thank you for the opportunity. And let's talk a little bit more about agility of the organization, which actually, in the overall context of organizations like ourselves and how they operate around the world, time frames of anywhere between 2 to 3 years for major decisions is indeed agile. So I fully agree with all of those that made that kind of comment. But take a look at the words of the resolution that you're considering. And you are considering the addition of a consultation process without more. That in and of itself is creating a lot of implementation issues and can have a significant impact on agility. So capitalize on experience that the organization already has in the context of these consultations with some of the other parts of the community and consider framing that more concretely. What kind of consultation? How long can it be expected to go on? What is the maximum amount of impact that we're really willing to undertake to impact agility? So this is very constructive to have this kind of back and forth before you've passed a resolution like that. It can be very useful, but what really could be the impact? Let's define that more.
Thanks, Olga. That's very constructive input. Jeff, we were really tight for time. I mean, we have to wrap up now. You're looking a very brief response then, please, because we really do need to call things to us.
So, Olga, I completely agree with you, and we'll look at those words. By consultation, all I meant and what we discussed as a group is really a conference call. Pretty easy.
All right. Let me hand the last word over to our chairman, Steve, and then we really will close things up.
So, as usual, these discussions get right into matters and sort of have a sort of frank and vigorous discussion. It's quite clear that a particular event, the rationale in that resolution, grabbed attention. It's causing me to think that maybe we ought to look at that in a slightly different way. We did get it fixed, and so in some ways we could argue that the process, an error was made and the process was fixed, and so this question is this the mechanism you need to prevent that from happening in the future, or do we have the mechanisms in place and we use them and the lesson is taken and so forth? I hope it's the latter, frankly. But in any case, we are clearly going through a rather interesting period with the whole GTLD program, and multiple changes underway, including the creation of new GTLD division that Fadi's talked about. And as we get new TLDs added to the route and we get new entrants into this organization, all of the talk that we've had in the past about transformation is going to take place. And so over the next year, 2 years, it's going to be a pretty interesting period in which the future is going to look not quite like the past and maybe not at all like the past. So I don't think this will be the only challenge in front of us. I think we'll have a lot of challenges.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Fadi. Thank you, board colleagues, councillors, and members in the room. That's been a very interesting and interactive discussion. Very much appreciate your time. We have to call it to a halt now, but thanks again. Thanks, Fadi. You too. Just remind, let me let everyone know in the room that at